to take just a minute this morning to pray for Myron as he gets ready to go. And as elders, if you are in the audience, you want to come up. We want to lay hands upon him as we see in Scripture, as those are sent out from the church. This is a great opportunity for us to celebrate, isn't it? Because this is not just an individual that is going on a mission. This is one of ours. It's one of our brothers. It's part of this body that's going out to represent you to brothers and sisters that really are in some very, very difficult places. Some places where they literally are taking the gospel on the forefront to places where they don't even have never heard the gospel, where their lives are at risk because of the gospel. And Myron is taking your blessing, your encouragement, the partnership that we have with this ministry to help and ensure that the gospel can continue to go forth. Like, this is part of your ministry as well as the body of Christ. Especially if you give offerings to this ministry, we use those offerings to be able to do things like this, to be able to support and encourage and pray for our brothers and sisters. And so I just want to encourage you this week that even as you're reminded of Myron, as the Lord may lay his name upon your heart as he travels, just pray for him. Because you never know how God will use that prayer. But we want to take an opportunity to just lay hands on Myron this morning and just send him out as a part of the body of Central Christian Church. Would you join me in prayers? Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have, that here in Wichita, we are participating in your work with our brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters in faraway places. We have the opportunity to join hands with them. We have the opportunity to love them. We have the opportunity to support them and partner with them in ways that helps further your kingdom. We're so grateful for that. Father, I'm so grateful for Myron as he's willing to take his time, sacrifice that time, and even take risk, Father, for the sake of being our representative here at Central Christian Church. Father, I want to pray a blessing upon him. I want to pray, Father, that you would protect him. Father, I pray that as he goes, that you would just put a hedge of protection, that the travels would be smooth, that there would be no bumps on the road there throughout the entire trip. Father, I pray that you would just fill him with your Spirit so that he might be an encouragement to the work that is going on in those places that he's visiting. Pray, Father, for his family, for Jamie and Macy and Jade, and just ask that you would protect them. That's one of the hardest times and hardest things to do is leave a family. And so I just pray, Father, that you would protect them. Help us to be the church for them during this time. But Father, we just ask that you would be glorified. And the beauty of all of this is the knowledge that this is about the gospel. This is about the gospel going forward into the lives of people that you value, people that you love. And even this weekend, we're reminded that life is valuable. The Sanctity of Life Weekend, it's so important for us not to just be concerned about the gospel, but for us also to be champions of life. Father, not just in the places far away, but Father, right here. And so, Father, may we be a church that is passionate about the gospel for those that are here that don't know you, but may we also be a people who are passionate about the life of those who are at risk because of selfishness, because of other things. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to speak against that. For there are many in this country that do not value the life the way you do. May we stand for it. May we champion it. May we champion for those that don't have a voice. And so, Father, I just pray that this be a part of who we are. And I thank you for the opportunity for us as a church to be able to participate in it. And pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders to stay up here for just a moment. We're going to transition from a time of celebration a little bit now to a time of lament. And here's what we're going to lament, and let me explain, give you a little bit of insight into what we're going to be talking about. But here in just a minute, I'm going to be sharing with you a very hard situation that we've been walking through in the past week. It's a situation of church discipline with one of our pastors here on staff. I'm going to read a letter that was drafted by the elders that will explain exactly what's been going on. Before I do that, though, I want to frame it this way, because it's so important for you to hear this as the body of Christ here at Central Christian Church, that our greatest desire our hearts as we've labored and we've prayed and we've worked through this situation is that we would represent the heart of Christ in everything we do. For those that have sinned and for those that have been sinned against, for the church, that we would represent the heart of Christ. And while we know that there's times we're going to make failures and we're not going to do everything right as leaders, that's our desire. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be here as a church. And so I want to read this letter to you this morning, and then I will talk a little bit more about it here in just a moment. It came to light early this week that Edwin Ojeda, one of our pastors, has been entangled in sin. The situation involved the pursuit of a lady, not his wife, who upon realizing what was taking place, reported it to the church. The intention of his pursuit has been verified by both evidence and his own admission towards adultery. While we acknowledge that we are all sinners, leaders are held in Scripture to a high standard of conduct. As a result, the elders have decided that Edwin can no longer be in the position of a shepherd here at Central Christian Church. At this point, our greatest concern and goal is restoration and reconciliation to the Lord and the body of Christ. As should be the case with anyone caught in any sin, we should humbly strive to forgive, love, and care for Edwin and his family, as well as for the lady who was faced with this difficult situation. And that is exactly what we intend to do. He's expressing a heart of repentance, and so we will be seeking a process to restore Edwin to a place of full health with the Lord and the body of Christ. We're also focusing on the support, love, and care for those most deeply affected. Sin is devastating. And we would ask that you pray for Angie and Sydney and the family and others that are impacted by this conduct as the Lord heals the wounds that have been caused. We are committed to love them in every possible way that we can, for they are our family. Some will be frustrated about our openness. However, we have labored, as I said before, and prayed over how to best handle this situation. In the end, we are communicating in this way to prevent any attempts that the enemy may make to generate division, slander, or rumor. Not every situation involving a church member needs to be discussed from this platform. However, a situation like this involving a pastor, a shepherd, needs to be addressed. It is also an opportunity for each of us to examine our own hearts to ensure there is no hidden and cherished sin in our own lives. Brothers and sisters, this is an opportunity for us to be the body of Christ, recognizing that it is okay to not be okay here at Central Christian, and that while sin does have consequences, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. When repentance is present, so is the grace and mercy of God the Father through Jesus his Son, exemplified by his church and his people. Let us not be the church that is known for shooting our wounded. This is a hard thing to communicate. It's a challenging thing. And it's been a very hard week. It's been one of the hardest weeks of ministry that I've ever had to walk through. Because we've seen the devastation that sin causes in the lives of those. And I want to encourage you to pray for those affected as we did in this letter. But I also want to just take a couple of moments now as we think about this as a church, just to take a few minutes in silence and do something oftentimes we don't do, which is to just lament and grieve over sin. To just lament and grieve over the reality that this is a broken world and that sin is present, isn't it? And it causes hurt. And so I'm gonna just take a few minutes of stillness to do that. And in that time, I would encourage you not to just lament over the sin, but to pray for Edwin, to pray for Angie and Sydney, to pray for the family, to pray for the church and its leadership, and to pray for us as the body of Christ. So would you join me now in a time of stillness? As we end this time of stillness and prayer, if you are able, would you please stand with me? You can continue to keep your heads bowed, but I want to read a text of Scripture. And I read this as a reminder to us all of who we are and who we were outside of Christ. Church, hear the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive, the venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Father, this text reminds us that prior to the grace and the mercy of Christ, none of us are righteous. It reminds us that left to our own, we are all sinners. And as we'll talk about this morning, that even as we come to faith in your Son, and even as we come and are born again, we still carry the flesh. Father, as we deal with this difficult topic, as we deal with this difficult season in the church, Father, I pray that you would use this to protect your church. I pray that you would use it to your glory. I pray that you'd use it in the lives of individual members of this body to be reminded to not take sin lightly, but to deal with it and to confess it. And so, Father, we just pray that this morning as we continue, that you would use this time for your glory, that you'd use this difficult news for the restoration of the Jesus family, and ultimately, Father, that you would stir us to be conformed into the likeness of your Son through it. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through your Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when there's something like this that happens in the church, you kind of have to ask the question, like, what do you do with this now? Like, you could just read this announcement and we could just go on and we could go on with our sermon series, but here's what I know to be true. For every single one of us in this room, we are and have been touched by sin, have we not? Every single one of us in this room has felt the effects of sin, either in our own lives or have felt the effects of sin from someone else in our lives. And in a topic that so often we don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable, because it's hard, because it's difficult, we are reminded that we as the people of God, we are called to be holy, set apart. We are called to be a people that are being conformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and yet we still are reminded that none of us are perfect in that endeavor. And so what do we do? How do we respond? What do we do with sin? Do we have weapons and tools to be able to deal with sin in our lives before it leads to devastation? Before it leads to these types of events? Our Lord, on the eve of his crucifixion, said this to his disciples in Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you ever felt the weight of that truth? Have you ever felt the weight of the truth that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak? That you find yourselves doing the things you don't want to do and not doing the things you do want to do, as Romans 7 talks about through Paul. This idea that we are in a battle in our lives, and here Jesus, he gives us a way to fight. He says for us to watch and to pray. To watch and pray so we wouldn't enter into temptation. To watch and pray. And I don't want to just say watch and pray. I want to talk about what it is that we need to watch for. So what should we watch for as the people of God? James helps us answer this question very practically. James chapter 1 verse 14 says this, but each person, that's everyone in this room, is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. When does temptation come, brother and sister? When you are lured and enticed by what? your own desire, by the desires of your flesh. And yet so often, we're not watching for these things. We're not watching for what are the desires that lead us, what are the desires that drive us, what are the desires that are enticing us and luring us in our flesh, partly because they're so natural, right? Partly because they come without us thinking. They just happen in us because that's who we are as broken men and women that still live in the flesh. But we need to be watchful. We need to be asking the questions, what is it that has caused me to lose my temper? What is it that has caused me to entertain that thought in my mind? What is it that has caused me to be willing to hurt that person? What is it that has caused me? What desire has caused me to gossip? What desire has caused me to seek to lie? What desire is in you that is stirring you and enticing you to do these things? Men and women, we need to ask these questions in our lives. I mean, sometimes this stuff happens before we even have a chance to realize what's actually taking place, don't we? A few years ago, I was at home at Saturday morning, and Karen had made lunch, and it was a fantastic gourmet lunch of corn dogs. And I went into the kitchen. We were working around the house, and I went to eat my corn dog at our island, and I wanted some ketchup on my corn dog. That's a normal thing. Everybody wants that, right? And so I grabbed the ketchup bottle. It was a pretty full bottle, but it was one of those ones the base was flat, and so you set it up, and so you have to get the ketchup down on the bottle. And so I did what every red-blooded American does when they need to get that ketchup to the end of the bottle. Like, you pick it up, and you just smack that thing, right? So I did that, but someone who shall remain nameless in my house decided to unscrew the lid. And so ketchup, when I did that, came out of that bottle with so much velocity that there was ketchup literally 15 feet away. I mean, it was on the walls, it was on me, it was on my kids. And let me just tell you, I lost my mind. Like, I blew up. I sinned in my anger. Now, here's the thing, that's a funny story, and believe me, now we laugh about it, but that day no one was laughing. Okay, like, including me. But here's the thing. Looking back on that day, in hindsight, something so small made me lose my anger. Why? Well, see, if you knew what had gone on that week for me, there was stuff that was stirring in my heart. See, what was going on in my heart was that I have a tendency to have the desire as a type A individual to control everything. See, I believe oftentimes in my flesh that if I just control, I can navigate every situation and make it work out pretty well, right? And so throughout that week, what was happening is other people kept getting in my way. Like, you ever been there? Like, it would have been fine if you wouldn't have just stepped into the space. And so my desire was luring me to not trust in the control of God, but to trust in my own ability to control things. And then I began to have a desire to let those people who got in my way have it. And that built and it built and it built and it built and it built until it was unleashed upon my children because of ketchup. Do you see how easy it is for us to be lured away by the desires in our heart, to be not paying attention? If I had been watchful and understood what was happening to me and how I was building in frustration because of these desires that were not of God, that were stirring in my heart, luring me away, I might have avoided hurting my kids. It always starts with a desire that is not rooted in the right things. What desire is luring you? Is it the desire for the praise of men? The desire to find value in the opposite sex? The desire to find rest in something other than God? The desire for money, comfort, security, control? It always starts with something besides the Lord. A covetous spirit. I want this. We must be watchful because we can so easily be lured away by small and slight enticements of our own desires. Listen, few of us are waking up in the morning every day just looking, hoping to fall, right? Like, my kids don't wake up in the morning and go, man, I can't wait until my dad asks me to do something today so that I can rebel against him. Like, the little boy doesn't think as a little child, I can't wait to grow up and get into a company where I lose my integrity and make profit off the backs of other people. A little girl's not thinking, man, I can't wait to grow up and become a prostitute. a father and a husband's not waking up in the morning going, man, I can't wait till later on today I lose my temper with my spouse. A wife is not waking up in the morning and going, man, today I can't wait to find my value in the way another man sees me or in the way another woman sees me or my value in children or whatever it may be. We don't wake up. We get drug away. We get lured away, and it's typically over small and little compromises, sometimes over long periods of time. And is it not true that we so often find ourselves doing things that we would have thought unimaginable years ago, weeks, even minutes before? Isn't that true? Partly because it's so natural. And so Jesus says, watch, watch yourself. But watching's not where he stops, is it? Watching's not the end of the day for what Jesus tells us. And what's fascinating to me, he doesn't say watch and then work harder. He doesn't say watch and make yourself better. What does he say? He says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. But what should we pray for? Before I get to that, I want to take a little bit of a rabbit trail because this is important. You know, when we come to faith in Christ, there is a beautiful thing that happens to us, isn't there? Like that which was dead in us is brought to life. Like we are born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. We are born of the Spirit, and that which is dead in us comes to life. And we now have the, not only the Spirit of God in us, but our spirits have been brought into a new living as a new creation. And so what happens now as a believer is now we're torn, aren't we? Like we still have our flesh, don't we? But now we have the Spirit of God. And what the scripture tells us is as the Spirit of God comes in us, he begins to change us. Look at Ezekiel 11, verse 19 through 20. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. Brothers and sisters, one of the things we have to be reminded of as we think about facing temptations, we think about sin and the desires of the flesh, is that they don't magically disappear the minute you come to faith in Jesus Christ, do they? I wish they did, but that's not what happens. We still live with our flesh. But what does begin to happen is the Spirit of God begins to form us, reform us, and conform us into a new likeness, into the likeness of Jesus. And he begins to change our desires and change our hearts. That's a work we aren't able to do. And I say this because praying isn't good enough. We have to know what to pray for, don't we? And we need to be honest with ourselves and recognize that there are times we need to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, my longings, my desires that I'm feeling right now, they're not of you, they're of the flesh. I'm longing something else. I'm longing to find rest somewhere else besides you. I'm longing to find satisfaction in something besides you. I'm longing to find my joy in something else. I'm longing to find my own wisdom as sufficient, my own control as good. I'm longing to be satisfied in my spouse instead of you. We don't cry out to the Lord. But brothers, this he already knows. And so often by us confessing that, it's a reminder for us that we have this battle raging inside of us. And this then goes to what we can then pray once you've seen and you've been watchful of these desires that are welling up in your heart and these desires that are welling up in your soul, or in your flesh, you have the opportunity to now pray, God, give me new desires. See, one of the things we don't talk about oftentimes in the church is you can't just stop having the desire of the flesh. Have you ever tried to do that? You just stop desiring the things that your flesh desired? We can't. You know what you have to do? You have to replace it with a greater desire. And that greater desire doesn't come from you. That greater desire comes from the Spirit of God living in you. And so you need to cry out to the Lord, God, I'm feeling the longing to find satisfaction in this computer screen right now. Help me. Help me to find a desire that's greater than this. Help you to become that desire in my heart right now. You plead with the Lord. How many moments of sin could be avoided if we would just cry out to the Lord this way? But so often we're just not watchful. And we just get carried away. And we don't pray. We don't pray for new desires. Brothers and sisters, I urge you. I urge you to watch and to pray. And don't just pray for new desires, but pray also that the Lord would shine light on areas that you don't see. Brothers and sisters, we need the help of the Lord to see sin in our lives, do we not? This is why David cries out and says, Lord, search me and try me if you see any wicked way in me. Because we don't see it, do we? It's one of the reasons why it's so important to live in community, because others, especially our spouses, have a tendency to see things in us that we don't. Listen, I just wanna say something. No matter where you are in your Christian maturity right now, the day you stand before the Holy One, our Creator, you will be devastated and ashamed at the depth of the wickedness in your soul that you have no idea exists right now. That's scary, isn't it? Praise God for His grace. But we, as the people of God who are called to be different, who are called to be holy, who are called to walk in light, should be constantly asking the Lord to reveal in us those things so that we don't have find ourselves trapped in them with a hard heart. So we should pray for light, but we should also pray that God would keep us from temptation. Isn't this what He tells us to do in the Lord's Prayer? Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You cry out every day, God, I know my own natural tendencies. I know my flesh. Lead me not into temptation. Keep me from temptation. Keep me from those things, Lord. Protect me. Help me. Brothers and sisters, He's able to do so. So often we don't ask. And so we should watch and we should pray. There is a battle that is raging, and I urge you, for the sake of the church and for Jesus' name, which is written upon you, for the sake of your homes, for the sake of your families, watch and pray. Do not let yourself become entangled in sin. But no matter how diligent we are, no matter how much we watch, and no matter how much we pray, we will fall, won't we? We will fall. We will all sin again, although that's not our desire. But as John says, when we do sin, there is an advocate for us, but we need to be reminded when that moment comes, when a brother or a sister falls, when we fall, what should our response be? First, we need to see ourselves in other people's sin, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Oftentimes when we read this text, we hear God is faithful, and yes, and amen. Oftentimes we hear that God will provide a way out and help us to endure, and yes, and amen. But brothers and sisters, we oftentimes miss that there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to everyone else in this room. You know what that screams? You're not alone. And the enemy would love to make you believe that whatever it is that you're struggling in the flesh with right now is specifically your problem. And he keeps you quiet because of fear and shame. And what the scripture says is there's no temptation that has seized you that is not common to everyone else in the room. Now listen, I guarantee you it doesn't manifest itself the same way with everybody. But the root, the core, the desire that is conceiving sin in you and then birthing sin in you has been experienced by everyone else at some level. Like none of us are righteous. So Romans said, you're not alone in it. Don't act like you're alone. And yet this is so hard. It's so easy for us to look at someone else's sin and say, man, like, I can't believe they did that. I've been guilty of that this week. And yet when I pause, I find that the desires are oftentimes there in my heart too. It's only by the grace of God that I haven't walked them out in my life and been enticed We need to see ourselves. We also need to confess our sin. And this is hard, even with a situation like what we're experiencing right now as a church. Many would say, no, it's better to be quiet. It's better to not say anything. Let people maintain their name, protect them. But the problem is that Scripture commands us to confess our sins to one another. Because when we bring it out to light, it allows us to rest in the grace of Christ. When we hide it, you know what you're saying? You don't trust His grace. Or worse, you don't trust the people of God to grant that grace. See, we are to confess our sins because hiding our sin robs Him of the glory of working through weak vessels and healing and restoring that we might be a physical representation of what Christ has called us to be. We must confess our sins. Thirdly, we must also respond like Christ has called us to. I'm just gonna read a few passages from the Word of God, because I think they speak for themselves in regards to God's heart for those that have sinned. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? That's me. That's what I ask." Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And without going into a lot of depth, what Jesus is saying is not giving you a specific number. What Jesus is saying is you just keep on going. Just keep on going. Galatians 6, 1 through 2, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression," not the ones you think are the worst, "in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Restore with gentleness, bear one another's burdens. Luke 15, 7, "Just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance." Do we rejoice when someone repents? Like when there's real repentance, do we rejoice in it? Do we celebrate it? This is why confession is such a beautiful thing, because then we get to see and we get to rejoice the way God does. 2 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8, "So you should rather turn to forgive and to comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you, reaffirm your love for him." Listen, I could go on and on about what the Scripture calls us to and how we are to respond to a fallen brother or sister regardless of the sin. But if there is true repentance, we are to forgive as Christ has. And we are to restore them to the body of Christ. Please do not mishear me. That does not mean there's not consequences to our sin, does it? There's consequences. But it means that they are welcome at this table, right? Like, it means that if there's repentance there, then they can come to the table of fellowship. They can come to commune and dwell with the living God, and therefore also dwell with the people of God. We don't bar them from that. This is His table, and His blood is sufficient for those who have confessed and repented. You know, we've been shifting communion to the end of the service, and I know some have asked the question, why do we do that? And honestly, in Scripture, there's not a right or wrong answer to that, but one of the reasons why we do that is we believe that it provides us an opportunity before we come to the table to examine ourselves as we've had an opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. To be pressed against the Word of God, because we believe it's the Word of God that convicts and challenges us. And so even as we come to the table this morning, as we think about these things, I am pleading with you today, examine your heart before you take the bread and the juice. Before you come to the table of forgiveness, the table that represents the opportunity for you to dwell with the living God, brothers and sisters, is their unconfessed sin in your heart? Is there cherished sin in your heart? Are there desires in your heart that are luring you away, even this morning? If that is the case, I plead with you to deal with it today. Don't let that sin run free and unhindered in your life, for it will only harden your heart and lead to devastation. Deal with it. Thank you. I want to pray here in just a minute. And we're going to, I got a couple more things to say after we pray, and then we'll take communion. But I want to pray, but before we do that, if you're one of those people that has unconfessed sin in your life, would you be willing to raise your hand right now? I'm not going to make you confess it. Don't worry. Like, that's not the point. Here's what I want to do. If you saw someone next to you that raised their hand, would you just put your hand on their shoulder? We're going to pray. There's so much value in just knowing, even as we say, like, I'm one who struggles. Like, I still struggle with the enticements in my flesh. And there's so much benefit to knowing that there's people around us that just love us, that want to carry our burdens with us. And so again, if you were one of those, would you please just raise your hand and look? And if you're sitting next to one of those, just lay your hands upon their shoulders. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, I pray for those who were bold enough to trust the church of God, your church, to love them. I pray, Father, that even today that you would give them freedom. Father, we know your scripture says that it's you who we sin against. That's the most important offended person in this, in any of our sins, you. And so we confess those sins to you right now. Father, I know in my heart, there are countless others in this room right now that did not raise their hand, but they have sin that they cherish in their heart. I pray that you convict them. I pray, Father, that you would, by your Spirit, conform them into your likeness. I ask, Father, that you would do that work in their hearts. Father, I pray for deliverance from sin, that we might be a holy people. We pray these things in your name. Ushers, if you would take your places and prepare to pass the plates. I also want to say this, that if you're here at Central and you are in this space right now and you feel like something's not right and you see the destruction of your own sin and you don't even really know what to call it, but you can see that following your own desires is not going well for you and you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, I would ask you to just examine your heart right now, because for those of us that come to this table, we relish the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, that we no longer have to sit underneath that sin. We have now an opportunity to follow new desires in our hearts by the Spirit of God that lead us to life. And I would call you as we pass the plates and as the family of God, take the communion of God, that you would examine your own heart and just ask the question, do you want to remain slave to your desires? Or do you want freedom? And do you want rest? I just want you to think about that. And as we come back here in a moment, we'll have opportunities to respond. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the grace now that we celebrate, that regardless of what we've walked in today with, that this bread represents the body that was broken for us and the juice, the blood that was spilled for us, that we might have mercy. Thank you. We praise your name for your grace and your mercy to us, your people. Amen. Pray with me for the offering as we pass the plates. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have now as your people, as members of this body, your body, to now offer something that in our culture is of utmost importance, to offer up our finances to the work of your kingdom. Father, we pray that you would take these and use them, bless them, give us wisdom to know how to steward them well. But Father, I pray that your heart would be blessed by it, that you would see joyful hearts of your people that in view of your mercies are giving, offering themselves up. And so Father, we just pray a blessing upon this time. In your name, amen.
All right, let's all stand together. Sing this with me, please. Let this be the prayer of your heart today.
I want to please you, Lord. Every day I want to know you more. Every way I want my life to be a life that honors you. As I begin each day, I will aim to use my time to magnify your holy name. I want to please you, Lord.
Prayer as we walk out of this place. If this is your first time here at Central Christian Church, listen, I recognize that this was a heavy day. And yet at the same time, I pray and hope, it is our prayer here as leadership, that what you see is a body that wants to be faithful, to love even when we fail, to deal with sin in the lives of the people of God. And so I want to, I'd love to have the opportunity, if that is you, this is your first time here at Central, I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you. And so right after the service, I'm gonna make myself available right outside these main doors at what we call our Info Central booth. Can't miss it. Encourage you to come out there. If you were somebody in this space that wanted prayer because you recognize that you have never given your life to Christ and you want the freedom that comes with following him, or maybe you're struggling with unconfessed sin in your life and you just didn't feel comfortable, but you want to allow and trust the leadership of this church to love you well and help carry your burdens, we're gonna just make prayer counselors and elders available at the front of the stage. And so elders and pastors, prayer counselors, if you would just make yourselves available at the front of the stage for a few moments afterwards, I'd invite you to come and pray with them and talk with them. I just dismiss us with this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless, you don't present yourself blameless, he does. You don't even keep yourself from stumbling, he does. Now to him who is able to do that, for the presence of his glory, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, both now and forever. Amen. Church, God bless. And I pray that you have a wonderful week. Hope to see you next week.